We're in Perek Vav, and we're up to Mishnah Dalet. Says the Mishnah. Kohen gadol lo yisa almana, ben almana mina erusin, ben almana mina nisuin. We're going to talk over here about a Kohen gadol. There are two special laws that apply to a Kohen gadol. The first one up here is that he's not allowed to marry a widow. That's special only to the Kohen Gadol. A regular Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, but can, yes, marry a widow. Kohen Gadol is also not allowed to marry a widow. And over here, the Chiddush in the Mishnah is that he's not allowed to marry her whether she's a widow from Erusin, from her state of betrothal to somebody else, or whether she was a widow from her full marriage. The reason is because we learn out that since a woman who's divorced is asur to a Kohen, that's whether she's divorced from Erusin or whether she's divorced from Nisuin. So the same is true by a woman who is a widow for a Kohen Gadol. Continues the Mishnah, Lo yisa es habogeres, Rabbi Eliezer v Rabbi Shimon machshirin bogeres. There's a second law by a Kohen Gadol, that by a Kohen Gadol it says, v'hu isha b'besulei ha'yikach, that a Kohen Gadol is supposed to marry a woman who is a besula, who is a virgin. And over here, there is a disagreement between the Tanakhama, who says he's not allowed to marry a Bulgaris. A Bulgaris is a woman who women get their signs of maturity, physical maturity, at 12. That stage is called a Nara. And then at 12 and a half, they get the stage called a Bulgaris. Bulgaris means that she's a fully mature woman and she's considered a fully adult woman halachically. So at that stage of being a Bulgaris, he is not allowed to marry her according to the Tanakhama, because since the verse says v'hu isha b'besulei ayikach, he darshens out she has to have all of her besulim, and this woman, when she's a Bulgaris, she loses her besulim. But Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon argue, and they're machshir. They say she's kosher to marry this woman, this Bulgaris, to marry a Kohen Gadol, even when she's a Bulgaris. And they darshan the pasuk differently, that isha besulei yikach means even when she has partial besulim, and a Bulgaris still has part of the aspect of being a besula, even though physically she may have matured out of some aspects of it. Lo yisa es mukas eitz. So everybody agrees over here that he's not allowed to marry a mukas eitz. A mukas eitz is a woman who had an accident or a fall, and because of that fall, lost her besulim. So there, people agree that that is called she lost her besulim, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen gadol. Ires es almana, v'nis mane lihios kohen gadol yichnos. So what if a regular kohen betrothed an almana, that's mutter for him, and then he becomes appointed to be the Kohen Gadol? Is he allowed to go on and consummate the marriage or not? When he was a Kohen, a regular Kohen, this woman is mutter to him. Now that he's a Kohen Gadol, she would be asur to him. So what do we say? Says the Mishnah, Yichnos, he's allowed to, since she was already his wife in Erusin Beheter, so he's allowed to finish the consummation to make her his full wife, even though he is now a Kohen Gadol. Umaise b'Yeshua ben Gamla, shekidesh es Marta bas Beitus, uminehu amelech lihios Kohen Gadol v'kansa. And similarly says the Mishnah that we have a case that was like this by a man named Yehoshua ben Gamla, that he betrothed a woman named Marta bas Beitus, and Marta bas Beitus was wealthy, and she paid off the king, and the king appointed this guy to be the Kohen Gadol. And then he went, and even though they were only in Erusin at that point, he went on to do a full nisuin, his kansa. He took her for a full wife, and we see that that's okay. Now we talk about a case, a similar type of a case with Yibum. Shomeres Yavam, shenafla lifnei Kohen Hedyot, v'nismane lios Kohen Gadol. So what's the case now where you have a woman who fell out from Reuven to Shimon, and they're Kohanim, And now she's Shomeres Yavam, so there's a Zika, but he hasn't done anything yet. No Yibum or Chalitza has been done yet. She's just waiting. And then Shimon, who's waiting, becomes appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. Is he allowed to do Yibum at this point or not? Maybe we say, just like Kedushin, she fell out to him in Heter. So the Zika relationship between these two started in Heter, so he's allowed to do Yibum or no? Maybe we say not, that there's not enough of a relationship over there to that got started, that he actually started being her husband in Heter, that we say he's allowed to take her as a wife and do Yibum. It says the Mishnah, Afal Pish Asaba Maimer, even if he did Maimer, we say Maimer is not a real Kedushin in this sense, but even if he did that, we're still not going to let him. Hare ze lo yichnos. This guy is not allowed to do Yibum. He has to do a Chalitza. Kohen Gadol Shemeis Achiv. What if we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven dies, and his wife, Rachel, falls out to Shimon, and Shimon was a Kohen Gadol. He was always a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol the whole time. Says the Mishnah, Choleit v'lo miyabe. He has to do Chalitza and not Yibum. Now, we saw that before. We saw that anybody who has a regular Isser, not an Isser Kares or one of the Arias, but a regular Isser towards his Yavama, the din is he should do Chalitza and not Yibum. Because the only thing that patters from Chalitza and Yibum is a Erva situation. But like the list of 15 that we saw in the very first Mishnah. Over here, this is just a regular Isser Lav in the Torah. So, but the Chiddush over here, we've already seen this principle, but the Chiddush over here is that even though this guy is the Kohen Gadol, and we might think in the Chalitza ceremony there's a process of spitting, which we'll see, which is a little bit of a disgrace, so we might have thought that we would let him out of the Chalitza ceremony because it may be disgraceful for the Kohen Gadol. The Chiddush over here is that we do make him do Chalitza, even though there is a certain aspect of disgrace involved. Says the next Mishnah, hey, Kohen Hedio lo yisa ailonis. Elim Kain, Yeshlo Isha Ubanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Pisha Yeshlo Isha Ubanim, Lo Yisa Ailonis, Shehi Zona Ha'amura Betorah. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Zona Ela Gioras, Umishuchreres, Veshenivala Be'ilas Znus. We're talking about a Kohen Gadol, a regular Kohen over here. Is he allowed to marry an Ailonis? We saw Ailonis in the first parak, that an Ailonis is a woman who is, she has certain features of, that are a little bit masculine, and she's not able, the important part for us is she is not able to give birth. She's physically unable to give birth. Therefore, the din over here is that a Kohen is not allowed to marry this woman unless he has another wife. Or if he already has children. This halacha is not only true for a Kohen, it would be true for by Yisrael also, the Bartanur points out. But we only wanted to talk about a Kohen over here because we're about to see this argument with Rabbi Yehuda. So we wanted to bring this in the context of a Kohen. But this would be true also for a regular Yisrael because he's supposed to be doing Puravu. So you're not supposed to take a wife who's not allowed, who can't do, is physically unable to do Puravu unless he already has another wife or children and he isn't concerned with fulfilling his mitzvah of Puravu. So, but in the case of a Kohen, he's not allowed to take this woman, says the Tanna Kamma, unless he has another wife. But the Tanna Kamma says if he has another wife, he's allowed to take this woman, this Ailonis, as a wife. Rabbi Yehuda, though, says no. Even if he does have another wife or children, he's not allowed to marry an Ailonis. And that's specific only to a Kohen, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that this woman, Ailonis, is called a Zona in the Torah. The Torah says that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Zona. So the question is, what is a Zona? What's the definition of that? So Rabbi Yehuda says over here that a woman who's not able to bear children is called a Zona, because the only reason that he's marrying this woman is for Znus. He doesn't want to build a house and a family with her, and because she's physically unable to. Therefore, he's only doing it for his own enjoyment. That's called Znus, so she's called a Zona for him. So that would be us, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim hold not like that. The Chachamim say, no, that's not called a Zona. A zona is someone who had a bia, who had physical relations with someone who was pasul to her. That creates a din, a reality of a zona for that woman. And their examples are a giyoris and a mishuchweris. The reason for a giyoris and a mishuchweris is that a giyoris, when she was non-Jewish, so we assume that she had relations with a non-Jew. And a mishuchweris, so also we assume that she had relations with somebody who wouldn't have been okay for a Jewish woman to have relations with, a slave, someone non-Jewish. Also, any woman who is nivela b'ilas nus means that any woman who had a relationship with someone, a physical relationship with someone who was asr to her. Even if that isser is only an isser lav, it doesn't have to be an isser of kares or an arayas. It could be any lav in the Torah, or even something which is a chiyuv aseh, but implies that you shouldn't do it, a positive commandment or a negative commandment. Any of those relationships, according to the Chachamim, will make this woman into a zona. This, by the way, is the place where we do find the halacha that a woman who had relations with a non-Jew is not allowed to marry a Kohen because she fits this halachic category over here of zona, and that makes her usher to marry the Kohen. That's what we find over here. You see that by the case of the Gioras. That is the end of the fifth Mishnah.